Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to all those who will be watching with us. I have a message today called Loyalty, Your Most Important Character Trait. Loyalty, Your Most Important Character Trait. And I wonder, someone would just see a title, Your Most Important Character Trait, what they might think it might be. Some people might think it's love, which is really, really important. Perseverance and all these character traits are very important. But as we're going to see today, if you don't have loyalty toward Yahweh, really nothing else matters, because there's a lot of loving people out there. There's even loving atheists and loving homosexuals. But without a loyalty toward Yahweh, it's not going to bring them entrance into the kingdom. And in 2 Timothy 3, you know, we go here a lot because we're living in these times, right? Where it talks about men being lovers of themselves, lovers of money, braggarts, arrogant, blasphemers, right? And all kinds of things, you know, slanderers, without self-control. But the one today I want to focus on is traitors. You know, they're traitors and hasty, boasters, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim. And when you look at the world today as a whole, I wouldn't say that every human being out there has every single trait that's here. But when it comes to things like boasters and lovers of self and lovers of pleasure, wow, you could probably get it up into really, really high numbers over the world, and especially in Western society today. And the key to it is that people who love self, who are addicted to, you know, pleasure seeking and love self, they will never be loyal. They will never be loyal, because it's actually the love of self becomes an addiction. And once you get into that, you're only loyal to yourself. You'll never be loyal to anything else. When you look at Facebook and social media and all these things today, and it's a porn, and that's why it's amazing how sometimes even big people in sports and politics and movie stars are even getting off of that, not for the right reasons, but because they're unmercifully mocked and put down and criticized, because that's what is bound to happen in the kind of world we're living in. That sure, it may start out as fun, that, oh, everybody can make their comments. But when you're looking at a world of evil and a world of self-pleasure and a world of self-seekers, ultimately it's always going to come to evil and selfish desires. And that's why loyalty is so important, as we're going to see. And like I said, we can talk about many things. I can give hundreds of sermons on all kinds of topics, which I have, doctrines that which are all important to being a first fruit and being obedient to Yahweh. But if we're looking at the main reason that Yahweh is performing his plan, and especially a 6,000 year plan as it is, it's really to see if we'll be loyal to him. You know, that's basically what it is. And like I always say, life is a test. And Yahweh gives each person, some he gives, you know, maybe 30 or 40 years. On average, he gives people 60 or 70 years to live on this earth. Either way, it's short time. It goes very quick. But it's enough time for Yahweh to look and see our character, because what we're going to see is loyalty is a character trait. It's not a feeling. It's not just something you do. It's basically, it's a character trait. So that's the reason for the test of life, is to see, will we be loyal to him for eternity? You know, because we're going to see that, you know, eternity is a long time, and he's got to make sure that 100,000 years, 1,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000,000 years down the line, that he's not going to have another saint and the devil that's going to decide they know better than Yahweh and be disloyal. And that's why many times people wonder, why does Yahweh put us through trials and we don't understand? Why doesn't Yahweh always answer us right away? And this is the reason. Because he's testing our loyalty. He wants to see. It's easy to always do the right thing, right, and have faith when everything's going your way. But when it's not going your way and you're not understanding, and maybe you're not getting an answer from Yahweh that you're looking for, that's the test to see, will we still be loyal to him? Will we still be faithful and straightforward and not change or go to the right or to the left? So like I said, life is a test of loyalty. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve, we'll talk about them a little later, with the fruit tree, again, was a test of loyalty. Two trees there, both, I believe, were the same tree. nothing different. Yahweh doesn't tempt somebody. So it wasn't a really good tree and a rotten looking maggot infested fruit tree. No, they were both exactly the same, looked the same. It was simply a matter of loyalty. Are they going to believe Yahweh or are they going to believe the adversary? So, and I think the biggest one that we look at, that's the scariest one when we're looking at loyalty, is Satan himself. Because remember, there was a time where Satan was Lucifer. Lucifer literally means the light giver, you know, like Luciferus, what they're putting in the vaccine, you know, it makes it illuminate. So Lucifer at one time, he's a created being and he wasn't created to be evil. He was created to actually guard the Ark of the Covenant. He was one of those covering cherubs. And for me, a human being that knows very little and knows my time is limited on the earth, I think that's the scariest thing to me in the world, more than anything else I look at in Scripture, is that a created being that was before Yahweh. Again, like as humans on the earth, right? No man has ever seen Yahweh face to face. We know him through his word. We know him sometimes he may have audibly even spoke to us. We might have seen a cherub, but no one has seen Yahweh face to face. And yet Lucifer stood before him and knew him and still became a traitor, still showed disloyalty. So if that doesn't scare you, then nothing will. How Lucifer, the light giver, can become Satan, the light taker. So we're going to talk about that today. It's an extremely important subject because, like I said, it's the most important character trait that you could have. So let's go to Numbers 30 in verse 2. Numbers 30 in verse 2. It says, when a man vows a vow to Yahweh or has shown an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do all that has gone out of his mouth. And when you're living in a world of truth breakers, right? You're living in a world where this is what the end time says. People don't look at it as such a big deal. If somebody gives you their word and they say, you know, I'm going to help you move this Sunday. And then at the last minute, it's not convenient or whatever. It could be any reason. It could be a good reason. Maybe somebody's really sick or something. Or had to be rushed to the hospital or their car broke down. So there could always be a good reason why someone can't do it. But for the most part, people will just take a simple reason, just that they don't want to do it, or there's something they feel they have to do more, and just say, I know I promised you I can do this, but I can't do it. And, you know, there's a saying, I've said this in other sermons, my word is my bond. You know, what is a bond? A bond is something, it's security that somebody puts up as collateral for something else. So if I want to borrow $1 million to build whatever, I'm going to put a bond up, because that bond is going to secure that loan. So when people say, and this is what the saying in olden days, my word is my bond, that means that word cannot be broken. So whatever you say, you know, even if it was more than you can chew, and I've done it myself, there's times I've made promises that were more than I can handle. But if it was within my realm, I would suffer to myself and try to keep my promise that I made. So this is what happens. And this is, it's all part of loyalty, because not keeping your word is being disloyal. And like I said, I don't think a lot of people see it that way, but it is that way. So whether it's a little thing, he was faithful in little, is faithful in much. If it's the littlest thing that your teenager is saying, you know, yes, mom and dad, I'll clean my room today. Or it's the biggest thing where you're making a vow before Yahweh. And like I said, there's people that have come up to me and said they're going to donate this money. And I say, don't even say it. If you're going to do it. It's between you and Yahweh. It has nothing to do with me. I don't get a penny of the money. I don't need to know. If you want to do it, donate. If you don't, you don't. But don't say it. Because once you say it and you don't do it, now you've become disloyal to Yahweh. So not keeping our word is an act of disloyalty. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. It says, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. And it's happened to us in our life. I'm sure everybody hearing this, it's happened to you one way or another. You know, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. So how can you be trusted if you're a gossip, right? And you have to watch who you're giving your loyalty to. Because there's times before where somebody in the congregation who's become a dissident, you know, and either they left already or they're on their way out the door, and they're gossiping about a doctrine we have, maybe about me personally, and somebody will come up to me and they'll tell me that this is being said about me or this is being said about a doctrine, and I'll ask them, well, who's saying it? And they won't tell me. They'll say, I can't tell you that. So it's a matter, you know, everybody has a loyalty, but who do you give your loyalty to? Are you giving your loyalty to your pastor and, you know, the elders in the congregation, or you're giving your loyalty to a dissident that's doing something that's taking them out of the congregation? So, you know, loyalty is something that is tested all the time. And like I said, everybody is loyal to something. We're going to see that in this message. There's nobody who's not loyal to anything. The problem is most people are just loyal to themselves. They're loyal to themselves. They're loyal to their addictions. They're loyal to something, but it's not Yahweh. And if you are loyal to Yahweh, then you have to make choices sometimes that may not be easy choices. And I've had it happen to me where somebody's come up to me and they said something about somebody else. And what I do is I will go behind their back and just tell that person. I'll tell the person to their face to say, you either have to tell this person what you just told me or I'm going to tell them. And if they won't do it, I will tell them because I know where my loyalty is. My loyalty is to Yahweh. My loyalty is to my family. My loyalty is to the brethren. And my loyalty isn't to dissidents. That's not my loyalty. So we have to make that choice sometimes. You know, that who do we trust? Proverbs 11 and verse 13. It says, one going with slander is a revealer of secrets, but the faithful spirit keeps a matter hidden. One going with slander is a revealer of secrets, but the faithful spirit. And one thing we're going to see today with a traitor, somebody who is disloyal, a lot of times they try. It's like what Satan does. Like you look at the world today, Satan has deceived the whole world. Every single thing you see out there has been twisted. Look at COVID, right? Most people in the world will tell you, even doctors will tell you, take that vaccine that's not a vaccine. When it's going to kill you, why? Because they've been deceived. They've been deceived. So he's deceived the whole world. And that's what traitors do. That's what disloyal people do. They're deceivers. So they don't come out and make themselves look like a traitor or a deceiver. They make themselves look at something good. You know, I just want to warn you. I just want to warn you about brother so-and-so. There was one time years and years and years ago that a lady was putting a rumor around the congregation about somebody who she was claiming was a child molester. Now, was it because this person actually did it or there was evidence of it or he was arrested? No. She had a vision. She had a vision that this person possibly could have been that way and was actually telling other people to be careful, right? Ooh, she's helping people. No, what she was doing is lying and maligning somebody's character over a lie, over a lie. So we have to be careful when people come up with some of this gossip, which is gossip, if they're telling something about somebody else that you don't need to know, and trying to make it sound like they're doing it for your own good. One going with slander is a revealer of secrets, but the faithful spirit keeps a matter hidden. So that's the people that are loyal, the people that are faithful, the people that you can trust, that you could share something with personal, and they're not going to be 5 minutes later, you know, blabbing it around to everybody that they see. So this is all part of loyalty, you know, being able to be trusted, to keep a confidence. And like I say to the elders, if you can't do this as an elder, then you're not an elder. If an elder can't keep a confidence, then he's not an elder. And there is a time where you do have to give information where it really could be dangerous, you know, but that's something completely different. I'm talking about personal information that, you know, a gossip would go around and say that doesn't have to be. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7. Says, love quietly covers all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love quietly covers all things. So this is where loyalty, when there's a problem with somebody else, you know, two people can have a problem, it happens all the time. I deal with probably, in no exaggeration, at least probably 30 to 50 times a year or more, I deal with a problem between two people. Sometimes it's even elders, but a problem that's coming to me. And I always think of this, love quietly covers all things. If you're disloyal, then when a problem comes up, you're just going to look, I don't want nothing to do with that person. He's a bad person. You just walk away. But if there's a loyalty there between people, love quietly covers all things. That the two people can get together privately. That's what Matthew 18 is about. They can discuss their problem. They can end it. And that's the end of it. So loyalty will convict you to work out differences, especially with when it's within the congregation. Because in the congregation, even if it's somebody who may not be the best person and may be disloyal, you don't want a problem with anybody that you don't have to. So you always try to work out a situation no matter what. It can't always be done because it has to be both parties working on it. But love quietly covers all things, and loyalty will convict you to work out your differences. And I have to say, overall in our congregation, praise Yahweh, that over the years, I've heard more new people say that they've come into the congregation because they really see true love from the brethren. And I think the vast majority of our brethren are like that, that they're loving, they're caring, they're helpful, and they look to help each other out in these situations. But, you know, we want to make sure we're looking at these things because we don't want something to creep in. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for distress. A friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for distress. So, you know, it's interesting that a lot of times people join the ministry for all different reasons. You know, over the years, we've had tens of thousands and tens of thousands of different people. I can't tell you how many different people have come and gone in the ministry, maybe even up to 100,000, I don't know, 50,000. But I do know it's tens of thousands of people that have come and gone. And at times, and it's usually pretty evident, Yahweh's given me a pretty good discerning spirit, there's people that will come into the congregation, and when they come in, they try to put on a false spirit of humility, and they act like they'll serve and they'll help and anything I can do, sometimes even give money, almost like a bribe. And a lot of times, at least with the men, not a lot of times, but sometimes I should say, not a lot, but there have been times where they're looking for ordination, they're looking for power. So, you know, they're putting on this game, they're putting on this act so that they can get the power they want, they can be ordained, and then once they're ordained, then that's it. Then they become almost like little dictators, and then it's, well, we don't need leadership anymore and these other things. So there's people that join for self-ambition, and they put that on. So that we have to, especially myself, I have to care for that. And that's why under most circumstances, we will not ordain somebody for at least 5 years in the congregation. Senior elder at least 10 years, you know, an international on the board with me at least 15 years serving in the congregation, because you have to show your fruits. So, and then when they don't get what they want, they leave. I've had even people threaten me, you know, where they played this game like this, and then they said, they actually came out and said, you know, you're not the only game in town. So when they saw that they were not going to be ordained because they didn't qualify as an elder, then they would just look to leave. And of course, they would want collateral damage, so they would try to lie or dissent from it. So I've seen it even a lot of times with people, you know, and I can't tell you how many times throughout the years, and there are a lot of good people that have come in the congregation, and I do appreciate many of the good letters we get. We get a lot of good letters of sincere people. But there's also through the years been the letters of somebody, they'll write you a wonderful letter, because they liked a certain sermon. Maybe it's on the Temple Mount. I've never heard anybody preach like that. Oh, this is wonderful. And Yahweh's. And then the next letter you preach, or the next sermon you preach, could be on divorce and remarriage, also from the same scripture, the same Bible. And then you get a letter from the same person. Take me off your mailing list. Take me off your mailing list. I try to tell them, we don't have a mailing list. We're not Sears and Roebuck, you know. We're not Walmart, you know. It's like... But that's the way people look, because that's commercial Babylon we're living in. But that all comes down to loyalty, you know. And actually what the Bible says is we should actually appreciate the hard words we're getting more than the good words. Because it's the hard words that are going to help us to change. It's the hard words that are going to look into our hearts. And like a message like today, you might be 90% loyal, but if there's still 10% of a problem there, you want to get it out. And that's why, for me, I've always been this way since the time I've become a believer. I look at any sermon, no matter what it is. It can be a sermon on childbearing. And I'm not going to say, oh, well, hey, you know what? I'm not a woman. I'll never bear a child. I don't need this. I could go to sleep, or I can... No, because maybe there's a lesson from that that I could learn in my life. So there's always something we could learn from everything, and that's what we have to look for. Proverbs 18 and verse 24, a man of friends may be broken up, but there is a lover who sticks closer than a brother. So loyalty of spouse, you know, and through the years I've done much marriage counseling. I've done it in seminars where we had actually courses on this at the Bible school. I've done it privately. And I could say not in every case, but in, I would say close to 90% of the time, when you ask a woman what's the main thing she wants out of marriage, she'll say love. And the main thing that the husband will say is loyalty. So those are the two things that come. And it's extremely important because we are the bride of Messiah. So we want to make sure that we're loyal to our spouse, because if we're not loyal to our physical spouse, how could we be loyal to Yeshua, who is our eternal spouse? 1 John 2 and verse 15. 1 John 2 and verse 15. Again, a scripture we read many times. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, excuse me, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And what is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? All of it is selfishness. People will be lovers of self, right? Braggarts, boastful, lovers of self. And like I said right in the beginning, people who love self will never be loyal. They'll never be loyal to anything but what they want at the time. And they're not even loyal to themselves. Because like I said, today it might be here, today it might be there. But they will be loyal to whatever they want at the time, whatever they're lusting for. And like it says here, if you love the world, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, right? And the world is passing in its lust, but the one doing the will of Yahweh abides forever. And this is loyalty, you know? When you're loving the world, right? And there's people that will make decisions over their job over Yahweh, will make decisions over a house. I've had people literally tell me in Babylon that the reason why they would never leave is because of their house. They would never leave the house. Can you imagine? That if a cherub came at night, like it would Lot, and said, come on, you got to go, the place is going to burn, they wouldn't leave because they wouldn't leave their house. So these are things that people sometimes put before Yahweh. And if you're putting the things in the world, and like I said, that includes all the stuff with internet and social media and artificial intelligence and all the gadgets that are out there, if you're putting all these things before Yahweh, then you're being disloyal. It's that simple. So this scripture, although we use it many times because of the world we live in and we talk about coming out of the world, which is fine, it really comes down to loyalty. Because if your loyalty is to Yahweh, you're not going to be part of a world where his arch enemy is the leader of. You know, can you imagine that? It's like, think about, you have a family business, right? And your family business is selling cars. And you've had this business from your great-great-grandfather, right? From 1915, when cars first started, you know, with Henry Ford. Your great-great-grandfather was one of the first ones to do it. And now there's another guy who's made a car lot 10 years ago across the street, and he's selling junk cars. He's taking old parts of cars and putting them in good cars, and they're not running good, and they're cheap, and they're terrible, but he's trying to undercut you and put you out of business, right? So he's become basically your enemy, because he's trying to do everything wrong, everything undercut you. He's lying about your business. He's putting false advertisement and false commercials online about you. And how would you feel if, you know, your son, who's supposed to be taking over that business for you, you know, in next amount of years, if he quit you and went and worked with that other guy? I mean, talk about a traitor, talk about this loyalty, but this is what it is. When you go into the world and you're working these jobs that are not righteous before Yahweh at all, and you know, you're doing everything in the world and all the pleasure-seeking things in the world that are of Satan, and you're part, like I said, Facebook can't be more evil. Facebook is an evil thing. The guy who started that is not a good person, and now with this changing the name, you know, to this metaverse, which is all about all weird stuff and changing your mind and all that, and there'll be people that will stay on it. There'll be people that will stay on. You know why? Because they love the things of the world more than the things of Yahweh. And they want to be part with all those people. They want to have all these likes and dislikes. And it's not of Yahweh. And you really have to think where your loyalty is. Because if your loyalty was is with Facebook, you know, even though they'll ban, right? They would ban me for what I'm saying today. They would ban me. They would ban me when I tell the truth about the vaccine, that it's not a vaccine and it kills people. They would ban me when I'm trying to save lives of people. They would ban me because I'm telling truth. And there's people out there that say they're brethren. They would still be part of it. They would still be on there. And you're being disloyal to Yahweh. You really are. You know. So these should be little decisions. You know, they're not big decisions like coming with the mark of the beast where you might have to starve to death, right? Like the children of Israel in the wilderness when they didn't have water for 3 days or food for a week. These are simple things. Getting rid of a Facebook account or getting off of social media or things that are part of the world. Proverbs 1 and verse 19. It says, so are the ways of everyone who gets unjust gain. It takes away its owner's soul. So are the way of those who get unjust gain, it takes away his owner's soul. So you look at the world today, right? And this just happened recently with COVID, right? Because they locked down around the world, and what happened? All the remaining small business mom and pop operations, 70% of them wound up going out of business. Because you can't be paying your rent and paying all your things when your business isn't open. But you know who's making profit over fist? The pharmaceutical companies, Amazon, all these big corporations are. And my question is, where is your loyalty? Is it to who is giving the best price, you know? Or is it to the mom and pop operation that's been there since you were a child that is trying to keep their business going? I heard about, I forget where it was, but it's a small town somewhere in the USA where these people have a pharmacy and they're losing money and they can't survive and they're trying to keep it open because there's not another pharmacy for like 10 miles and a lot of people depend on them. But because of what's happening here, because of the shutdowns and all these other things, they've been pushed to the limit. So where is your loyalty? Is it with Walmart? Is it with just getting the best price? Or is it helping the people, the mom and pop businesses in your town that have been there, you know, the bakeries and the cleaners and the tailor. Like when I was a child, we had all these. It was all an individual person, right? So when you get Walmart come along and they can make this superstore and everything could be in one store, what do you think is going to happen? You know, the small person, they can't compete with those people and they put them out of business. But this is where we are today. Where now, this is why you could have corporations running the laws and corporations like the pharmaceutical companies, even running what's happening to people's lives and their medicines. It's not the doctors making the decisions. It's CEOs of pharmaceutical companies and people like Bill Gates, because people have allowed it to get this far. If people would have said back then, it may cost me a little more money, but I'm going to be loyal to Mr. Smith. You know, he's been there since my grandfather was a boy. And he helped the town, and he's helped this, and he's helped that, you know. Then we wouldn't be in the situation we get today. You know, but back then, you knew all the business owners personally. I know I did. And if you went into a store, and there was something there that you needed, and you didn't have the money, they'd just say, bring it in later. We just had this recently where Petra had to get glasses, and the woman in the store, because she wasn't sure if these glasses would be the right ones, she just said, no, you don't have to pay, take them. And she said, I might not be back here for maybe even a month, I'm not sure. And she said, don't worry, you know, take them and you see, and if you don't need them, bring them back. This is where it's personal. And this is where it's not only loyalty, it's trust. Because if people do that and people don't come back with the things that are taken, then what's going to happen? But if they can trust you and you're loyal, then it's going to keep that relationship, because that's all business is. It's a relationship. It's a relationship to wants and needs of people with the environment around them. But when you're looking at Walmarts and Costcos, you know, they might be good prices and they might be cheap stuff, but in the end, it brings the world we have today. So even with work, you know, it used to be you get a job. It could be anywhere. You can get a job in a factory, you know, like a car factory, you can get a job doing whatever, and you would work that job. You'd work it for 25, 30 years. Every couple of years, you get a raise, and then after 25 years, you get a gold watch maybe, you know, you get retirement. Not today. Today, people work a job 1 year. If they can't move up real quick, and they'll stab somebody in the back in that place to move up, they'll lie about them, do whatever, then they're going to move somewhere else. People jump from job to job. And the business owners, they're not protecting the people either. So it's not just the workers, it's also the bosses. The bosses have no loyalty to their people anymore because there's no private owners. Corporations, you know, a corporation like Walmart, a corporation like McDonald's, a corporation like whatever, these corporations, who are they loyal to? They're loyal to the corporate profits. That's all they're loyal to. They're not loyal to anything else. So it's sad to say, but it's just the way that society goes. People always wanting more and more. And like I said, once you have corporations running the world, and it's interesting, if you go back to World War II, you had people like Dwight Eisenhower, you know, who was a great general, you know, and then a president in the United States, warning about this. John F. Kennedy was warning about this, that what would happen to society if corporations wound up taking over. And artificial intelligence is only an arm of corporations because it's not dealing with people. It's not dealing with souls. It's not dealing with hearts. It's not dealing with any kind of feelings or emotions. It's just dealing with, you know, profit and loss, and that's about it. So unfortunately, the attitude of disloyalty, it is in some members today, some brethren, not a lot, but it's in some. Not necessarily our congregation, but in general, there's a lot of people out there in the Laodicean era that don't want to be part of a congregation. So I'm talking about now not people in our congregation, but just people that are brethren, people that or may be Sabbath keepers, let's say. You know, maybe you don't consider them brethren, depending on who they are, but they could be a Sabbath keeper. They may know the name of Yahweh. You know, in Israel, we've met hundreds and hundreds, thousands probably over the years. But you ask them, well, what congregation do you belong? Oh, I don't belong to a congregation. I'll never follow a man. And these are people that are disloyal. Because like I said, their loyalty is to whatever it is that week. 1 week they're jumping here, 1 week they're jumping there. And 1 year they just happened to jump to us, to the Feast of Tabernacles, because we, in those days, we had an open feast. So they would come to the feast with us because they just wanted to see or see Israel, whatever. But then the next week they'd be somewhere else. So there's no loyalty to anybody or anything except the selfish desires they want at the time. And again, if you can't be loyal, you know, one thing about Yahweh and his plan of salvation, it's about people. It's not about you. It's not just about you doing something or liking something. It's about you sacrificing yourself and becoming more of a giving, loving, caring person, but you need other people around. It's a family business is what it is, and that's what Yahweh's doing. He's creating us to be part of that family and part of that business of saving souls. And if Yahweh can't trust you to be loyal to the eldership and the leadership that he put in the congregation, then how are you going to be loyal to him? Like it says, how can you love Yahweh who you haven't seen if you don't love your brother who you have seen? So loyalty takes commitment, it takes discipline, and it takes sacrifice. Loyalty, it doesn't just happen. It's not just something that you do, but real loyalty. I'm not talking about being loyal because, like I said, everyone's loyal to something. The alcoholic is loyal to the bottle. The drug addict is loyal to his drug, you know. So everybody is loyal to something, but true loyalty, righteous loyalty to Yahweh, it takes commitment, it takes discipline, it takes sacrifice. And that's what our whole calling is about. Proverbs 3 and verse 1. My son, do not forget my Torah, but let your heart guard and keep my commandments. For they shall add length of days and long life and peace to you. Mercy and truth will not forsake you. Tie them on your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. And you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of Elohim and in man. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and depart from evil. Healing shall be to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor Yahweh with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase, and your barn shall be filled with plenty, and your wine vats will burst with new wine. Here's people they don't even tithe. Talk about disloyalty, stealing from Yahweh when everything belongs to him, and he's only asking for 10%, and someone's going to steal off the boss, right? My son, do not reject the chastising of Yahweh, and do not hate his correction. For whom Yahweh loves, he corrects, even as a father corrects the son with whom he is pleased. Right? So this is why Yahweh corrects us. He corrects us so that we grow in commitment, discipline, and sacrifice. And we should be thankful for that, because that's where he tests our loyalty. By putting us through trials, he's testing our loyalty. Hosea 6 and 6 and 7. Hosea 6 and 6 and 7 says, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they have transgressed the covenant. They had acted like traitors against me." They're like Adam. They've transgressed the covenant. Wow. Isn't that interesting? In Hosea, he's talking about that. So Yahweh's looking for faithfulness, not sacrifice or knowledge. Yahweh is looking for faithfulness. And it is disloyal to Yahweh to allow heresy. Because Yahweh's Torah is part of his character. The same way loyalty is part of somebody's character, or disloyalty is part of your character. So Yahweh is not looking for sacrifice, you know, doing hundreds and hundreds of sacrifices, like he says, he's not pleased with that. Or knowledge, people are so smart, they know the Bible so smart. No, Yahweh is looking for loyalty. And like I said, going against his doctrine is a form of disloyalty. But it's interesting that they would mention Hosea like Adam. So let's go to Adam now, because this is really where disloyalty started. It's the first case of it in Scripture. And it really is, I think, a good lesson for us to learn from on what not to do. So Genesis 3, we've read it many times. I'm not going to read the whole thing. The serpent is cunning, right? That's what we got to watch, because Satan is very cunning and he is deceitful. And like I said, disloyal people can be very deceitful and trying to make you think that they're being loyal when they're being disloyal. And that's what's happening here. Satan is trying to make it sound like he's the loyal one. He's trying to bring truth to Adam and Eve, and Yahweh's the disloyal one, right? When he's asking them, didn't Yahweh say you could eat of every fruit of the trees? And then what is Eve saying? You know, no. Yahweh said we can eat of all the fruit, but not the tree of the that's in the middle. And what does Satan say? The serpent said to the woman, because Yahweh said they'll die if they eat of that fruit. And the serpent says, surely you will not die. Wow. The beginning of the immortal soul doctrine, right? That's fake. The soul that sins, it will die. And now Satan is not only lying to them, but he's accusing Yahweh of being a liar. So he's accusing Yahweh of being disloyal. No, Yahweh doesn't want to give you this good tree, because you're going to be like him when you do that. He's lying to you. And unfortunately, that's what some of these disloyal people do. And you got to be careful for it. And you can't allow it to even listen to a word of it. Eve at that point should have said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You were but an offense." So what happened? So the woman see this tree was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes and desirable to make one wise. Just like 1 John 2, remember? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's the same thing here. So her lust for self, her lust for things, you know, people will be lovers of self and lovers of things, and the desire to make one wise, like people today want to be wise, they want to be smart. She took of it and she eats it, and she believes the lie, right? And she gave to her husband, he ate. And then what happens? This is not only just a sin, it's traitorous. It's traitorous because they actually believed the enemy over Yahweh, if you can believe it or not. Like I said, with the guy who has the car business, and the son who leaves his father, who was working at that for three generations, to go across the street because he can make more money with the guy who's lying and deceiving people and how he's selling. This is what they went through. But then what happens? Their eyes are open. Yahweh comes, and what does he say? He calls the man, and he says, "Where are you?" And he said, "I have heard your sound in the garden. I was afraid, for I am naked, and I hid myself." And Yahweh said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she has given to me of the tree and I ate, right? So, and that was the woman say, oh yes, the woman and the serpent deceived me. So here it is. This is something that you see with disloyal people. Disloyal people will never take responsibility for their actions. They just blame somebody else. They simply blame somebody else because they can never be wrong. So this is where Adam should have taken responsibility and say, you know what? I was wrong. I should never let my wife to be there. I should have been the one there. And I should have taken control of this. He didn't. And he blames the wife. And then the wife blames the serpent. And in one way, they had legitimacy in what happened. They're not lying when they say that. Eve did deceive the husband. And the serpent did deceive Eve. But at the same rate, that was not the problem. The problem was with what they did. And neither of them took responsibility for what they did. And this is what we see. That it's an act of treason. But disloyal people will always look to blame somebody else. They won't take responsibility. If we look at 1 Samuel 15, we see a good example of this, or a bad example, we should say, an example to learn by, a bad example to learn by, with the first king of Israel, King Saul. So, chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, Samuel says to Saul, Yahweh sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel, and now listen to the voice of the words of Yahweh. It's pretty simple. Yahweh tells him, go to Amalek, right? And who came against Israel when they left Egypt. And he says in verse 3, now go and you shall strike Amalek and destroy all he has. Have no pity on him. Put to death all from man to woman, from little to suckling, from ox to sheep, from camel to donkey. Everybody. Why? Because if he doesn't, the little ones are going to become bigger ones. And just like we saw with Baal Peor, with Balaam, they're going to grow up and they're going to deceive the Israelites into serving other deities. So Yahweh says, get rid of all of them. He's got to start over. So what happens? It's pretty simple. He's the leader of he's the general of the army. He's the leader of the country. He's the king of Israel. Does he listen? No. Drop down to verse 9. Saul and all the people had pity on Agag, you know, the leader there, and the best of the flock, and of the herd, and the seconds, and the lambs, and all that was good, and were not willing to exterminate them. But they exterminated every despised and worthless thing. And this is what I said, when you get a disloyal person, he will twist it, right? And then make it sound like he's being obedient. But the command was kill everything. So they kill all the worthless stuff that they couldn't use anyway, and then they're going to take the good stuff, and then you know what they're going to try to say? Well, they'll use it for Yahweh. Like, so the disloyal person is very, very cunning, like the devil, to try to make it sound like they're obedient when it's the total opposite. They're only loyal to themselves. And that's the way Saul was. He was only loyal to himself. And the word of Yahweh was to Samuel saying, I repent that I made Saul reign as king, for he has turned back from following me and he has not risen to do my words. And Samuel was angry and cried to Yahweh all night, right? So when Yahweh gives us a commandment, it's not for us to decide which part of it we will do and which part we won't and which... No, he gives the commandment, we follow the commandment. That's how he tests our loyalty. And like I said, life is a test. Life is a test, and it's a test to see will we be loyal or won't we be loyal. So then what happens? Samuel rises up. He goes to Saul, right? And Samuel says, or Saul says, look, I've done exactly what Yahweh said. Verse 13, Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of Yahweh. I have risen to do the word of Yahweh. And Samuel said, what then is the noise of the flock in my ears and the sound of the herd that I hear? Weren't they all supposed to be dead? And you're sitting here telling me you did exactly what Yahweh said when I'm hearing the voice of these animals in my ear. And Saul said, they have brought them from Amalek because the people had pity on the best of the flock and of the herd in order to sacrifice to Yahweh. And the rest we exterminated. And look what Samuel says to Saul. Stop. Stop. Enough of it. Stop. Stop with your lying words. Stop with your justification. Stop lying not only to Yahweh but to yourself. Stop it. Right? And he says, I will declare to you what Yahweh spoke to me tonight. And Saul says, speak. And Samuel said, were you not even little in your own eyes before becoming leader of the tribes of Israel? And Yahweh anointed you as king over Israel. And Yahweh sent you on the way and said to go. Exterminate the sinners, Amalek, and fight against them until they finish them. Why then did you not listen to the voice of Yahweh, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the eyes of Yahweh? And look at what Saul says. Does he still repent then? No. I did obey the voice of Yahweh, and I went in the way which Yahweh sent me and brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I exterminated Amalek. Well, part of it was to exterminate the king too. So he didn't listen and still just justifying himself. And then look what Samuel says in verse 22. And Samuel says, Yahweh delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, obeying is better than sacrifice. To give attention is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, witchcraft, sorcery. Rebellion is sorcery, witchcraft. And stubbornness is both iniquity and idolatry. And this is where sometimes disloyalty comes from. It comes from the prideful person, the stubbornness that comes there. And Yahweh says that stubbornness is iniquity, sin, and idolatry. Because you will actually put yourself before Yahweh. And that's all disloyalty is. Loyalty is putting Yahweh before everything. And he says here, stubbornness is both iniquity and idolatry. And drop down to verse 32. And Samuel said, bring near to me Agag, the king of Amalek. So then Samuel goes and gets Agag. And he came to Agag, comes cheerfully, and he says, surely the bitterness of death is past, because he sees Samuel the priest. He thinks maybe he's going to do a sacrifice to him. And Samuel says, as your sword is bereaved women of children, so shall your mother be bereaved among women. And Samuel cut Agag in pieces before Yahweh in Gilgal. Wow. Same way he was cutting his sacrifice, he cut this evil king up. So we see here that, like I said, going against Yahweh's judicial order is treason and disloyalty, any way you cut it. It's treason and it's disloyalty. And loyalty is a character trait, and so is disloyalty. Loyalty and disloyalty are character traits. They're not feelings, they're character traits. Life is a test, like I said. Yahweh only has us living in Satan's world to see where our loyalty will be and whether he can trust us to give us eternal life. Eternal life is a long time. And believe me, if you look in this world, every single person that's ever lived has been a sinner, right? And Yahweh's not going to take the risk of having billions of Satan the devils out there. He has to see if he can trust us. So as humans, yes, we will sin. We will falter like King David. But will we be loyal? Will we be loyal? Matthew 27, in verse 3 through 5, right? Because loyalty is a character trait and so is disloyalty. Matthew 27, and this is with Judas, right? After Judas was the traitor to Yeshua, look what happens. Then Judas, Matthew 27 and verse 3. Then Judas the traitor, seeing that he was condemned, repenting, returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I've sinned betraying innocent blood. What good was it doing then, right? So it's again about the money. Like he's thinking returning the silver, he's justifying himself. So again, he lies to Yeshua. He goes and deceives him behind his back for money. And then when Yeshua is being crucified, he actually thinks that bringing the money back is going to justify him. Wow. What a traitor. What a traitor. So he brings and saying, I betrayed. And they say, what's that to us to you? You see it. And tossing the silver pieces in the sanctuary, he left and going away, he hanged himself. And what did Yeshua say? That it was better for him to never have been born than to do this. Right? And why was that? Why couldn't he really repent? Because he didn't have a heart of repentance. Because that's not repentance what he did. Thinking, I'll bring the money back and now that's it. Now we're even. No. No way. That doesn't make it even. And his heart was not right before Yahweh because he had a spirit of disloyalty. Can you imagine? He was with Yeshua for more than 2 years. He's with him. He travels with him. He went with him, did everything with him. Even was there on the last Passover night, right? Even to the point where he comes with those soldiers to kiss him on the cheek to show the one I kissed because they all look the same, right? And what does Yeshua say? Friend, do you betray me with a kiss? Friend, he calls him, right? For all that time they were together, and even then, the disloyal spirit was still there. Wow. I don't think you can get a worse example of disloyalty than this. And disloyalty will keep you out of the kingdom, without a doubt. There will not be one disloyal person in the kingdom. 1 Samuel 24, let's say with King David, a good example of loyalty. 1 Samuel 24. Now, this is when what's happening, right? David already knows he's been named king, right? He's already been anointed by Samuel. He already knows Yahweh's behind him. But yet, King Saul hasn't been taken out yet. So now Saul is coming, trying to kill him. And Yahweh puts Saul right in David's hands so David can get rid of Saul. But does he? Let's look at what happens. 1 Samuel 24. And it happened when Saul returned from after the Philistines, and they told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." And Saul took 3,000 chosen men of all Israel and went to seek David and his men in the front of the rocks of wall. Goes, look how evil this guy is. He takes 3,000 men to go to kill David, knowing that David was always loyal to him only because he didn't want to lose his position as king. What an evil person. And he wouldn't just go himself and fight David. He's got to take 3,000 men because he knows that David, he couldn't fight David. Right? What an evil person that Saul is, doing all this simply to hold his position. And on the way he came into the folds and flock, and there was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet. He went in to relieve himself, go to the toilet. And David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Well, Yahweh is so good, huh? And sometimes humorous. That here it is, they're hiding in this cave, and he happens to go to relieve himself in this cave where David is right there. And remember, when you relieve yourself, you're going to put your sword down, and you know, you got to get in a certain position. And David's men said to him, "Behold, the day of which Yahweh said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy in your hand, and you shall do to him as good in your eyes.'" But David rose up and quietly cut off the tassel of Saul's robe, right? The tassel is the sign of authority. And he wanted to show Saul something. But what happens? And it happened afterwards, the heart of David struck him because he had cut off Saul's tassel. And he said to his men, "Far be it from me by Yahweh, I will not do this thing to my master, to the anointed of Yahweh," the anointed, the Messiah. The word is Mashiach. "I will not do this to the Mashiach of Yahweh to put my hand against him, for he is the Mashiach of Yahweh." So David was here saying, okay, I know I'm going to be king. Yahweh said it. I know he put him into my hand, but you know what? I'm not going to touch. As long as he is still king, there is judicial order. I don't think there's a great example of judicial order in the Bible than this, that I will not touch him as long as he is in the position that Yahweh has him in. And David held back his men by words, and he did not allow them to rise up against Saul. And Saul rose up from the cave and went his way. And David rose up afterwards and went out from the cave and called after Saul, saying, "My master, the king." And Saul looked behind him, and David was bowing face to the earth and prostrate. Can you imagine? Not only didn't he kill him, he prostrated himself and was bowing to him. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of man, saying, 'Behold, David seeks to do you evil'? See this day, your eyes have seen how Yahweh has delivered you into my hand in the cave. And one said to kill you, but I had pity on you. And I said, 'I shall not put out my hand against my master,'" against my Adon, against my master, "'for he is the anointed of Yahweh. And my father, behold, yes, see the tassel of your robe in my hand, for that I cut off the tassel of your robe and did not kill you. I know and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. You, yet you are lying in wait for my soul to take it.'" Who's the righteous and who's the evil one? Who's the loyal one? Who's the disloyal one? "Yahweh will judge between me and you, and Yahweh will avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be on you." Wow, can you imagine King David saying that? The faith he had to have in Yahweh and the loyalty in Yahweh to know that Yahweh would not allow something to happen because of the promise he made him. "As the proverb of the ancient says, 'Wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be on you.' After whom has the king of Israel come out? After whom are you pursuing? After a dead dog? After a flea? Yea, Yahweh shall judge and shall judge between me and you. Yea, he shall see and contend for my cause and shall deliver me out of your hand." And it happened when David finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for I have done good, for you have done good to me, and I have rewarded you with evil. And you have today shown that you have dealt well with me, and that Yahweh shut me up in your hand, and you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go well in his way? And Yahweh will repay you good for that which you have done to me today. And now behold, I know that you will certainly reign and the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. So he says the obvious, which he knows, but what's the very next thing he says? Now swear to me by Yahweh that you will not cut off my seed after me, and you shall not destroy my name from the house of my father. Wow. So of course, just like again, just like the disloyal person, not enough that he takes responsibility for what he did, he's only doing it to try to save his own skin. Wow. Loyalty and disloyalty. And this is why is David a man after Yahweh's own heart? He's a man after Yahweh's own heart, not because he killed Uriah the Hittite, you know, and what happened with Bathsheba. It's because of this. It's because of his loyalty. And throughout the Bible, he was always loyal to Yahweh. He was always loyal to Yahweh, no matter what. And David's friends were loyal to him. The friends of David's were also loyal to him. When David was fleeing from Absalom, right? And you had these people, these older men that came there. I'm not going to read it, but it's in 2 Samuel 15. And what happened? These old men were ready to go with him and die. They were ready to go with him and die because of their loyalty to David. And David said, you know, no, don't do this. You know, he was also loyal back to them. But they were willing to die with him because of their loyalty. And loyalty and friendship go hand in hand. You can't have friendship without loyalty. And like I said, sometimes it's not always easy, but you have to choose your loyalties at times, and you better make the right choice. And I think the greatest example of loyalty in the Bible is the book of Ruth. We'll show the example here in Ruth, the first chapter. Ruth, the first chapter. Because here it is, Ruth is from the tribe of Ephraim, or of Reuben, rather. She's from the tribe of Reuben. She marries into Judah. And after her husband dies and the other lady's husband died, the brother's, her sister-in-law, Naomi is going back to Judah. And she's trying to leave Ruth behind with her tribe so that she could remarry and have a life. She's a young lady. And what does she say? No. She's showing loyalty to her mother-in-law and loyalty to that. So let's read it, starting in verse 8. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, each return to the house of her mother. May Yahweh deal kindly with you as you have done with the dead and with me. May Yahweh grant you that you find rest each in the house of her husband. And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said to her, nevertheless, we will go back with you to your people. And Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Are there your sons in me in my belly that they should be husbands for you? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to belong to a husband. Though I should say there is hope for me, and I should tonight be with a husband, and I should also bear sons, will you wait for them that they might grow up? Will you shut yourself up for them not to belong to a husband? No, my daughters, for it is much more bitter for me than for you, for the hand of Yahweh has gone out against me, right? So now though, Naomi, she's going to be left alone. She's going to have no seed. She's going to have nobody to carry on their name. And this is why Ruth will not leave. And they lifted up their voice and wept. And Orpah, the other sister-in-law, kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, see, your sister-in-law has turned back to her tribe and to her Elohim. You turn back after your sister-in-law. And Ruth said, do not beg me to leave you, to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people are my people, and your Elohim, my Elohim. Wow, what a great act of loyalty. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May Yahweh do to me and more, if anything but death part you and me. And this is a vow she didn't make rashly, but it's a vow she kept. And Yeshua winds up, well, King David winds up being born from this lineage, and then Yeshua, of course, because he's from the lineage of King David. So, wow, what a reward that was given. But what an act of loyalty for this young woman. And you know what? You could read, she's a young woman. She seems like a very simple woman. It wasn't out of a power play. It wasn't that she was scared to be alone. It was simply because that was her character. It was simply her character that she loved her mother-in-law. She had loyalty to family, and nothing was going to depart that period. And that's the way people are. You know, if people are loyal to their family, you know, then there's nothing that's going to separate that loyalty. to your family. And you have an evil world today. You'll even see in cases like the government will try to get families to be against each other and to give witness against each other in families. And it's really evil what they do. Because in government and in this global world today, and in corporations, like I said, there is no loyalty to nothing. The only loyalty is to the almighty dollar and power. But Ruth was totally loyal to the mother-in-law and the memory of her late husband to raise up seed, and never once thought what was best for her, but what was best for her family. John 6 and verse 51. John 6 and verse 51, and we see this with Yeshua and his followers. John 6 and verse 51. Yeshua says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And indeed, the bread which I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Then the Jews argued with one another, saying, how can he give us his flesh to eat? Then Yeshua said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourself. Can you imagine? They don't understand what he's saying. They think this is cannibalism. What on earth is he talking about? And he goes on to explain it. He's the bread that came down from heaven. But in verse 60, then many of his disciples, having heard, they said, this word is hard. Who is able to bear it? But knowing in himself that his disciples were murmuring about this, so this is his disciples, right? Yeshua said to them, does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascending to the place where he was before, going up to heaven? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words which I speak to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who are not believing. For Yeshua knew from the beginning who they were, the ones believing, and who was the one betraying him, right? Judas. And he said, because of this, I have told you that no one is able to come to me unless it is given to him of my Father. Because of this saying, many of his disciples turned back and did not walk with him. Wow, talk about loyalty, right? There was no loyalty there. There was loyalty for the moment. Like I said, one sermon you give on the Temple Mount, people love it. The next sermon on divorce and remarriage, take me off your mailing list. So this is what Yeshua is going through. You know, when they don't understand something, it's not, well, you know what? He's the Son of Elohim. He's the Messiah. You know, I just have to trust in him. It's nope, they turn back. And look what he says. Because of this saying, many of his disciples turned their backs and did not walk with him. Therefore, Yeshua said to the 12 apostles, do you also wish to go? And look what Peter says. Simon Peter answered him and said, Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. And that's what I say. Once you've come into Yeshua's congregation, where do you go from there? How on earth can anyone who's been baptized and had their minds opened by the Holy Spirit, and they come to the doctrine, they come to the truth, they come to all these things, and then they leave because they didn't get their way. They leave because of pride. They leave because of disloyalty, and they leave because of selfish ambitions, right? And they're not true called ones, because like Simon Peter said, where do we go? Where do you go when you got to the top of Mount Zion? And we have believed and have known that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living Elohim. Yeshua answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, yet one of you is a devil? Talking about Judas. But he spoke of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, for this one was about to betray him, being one of the 12. So here we see that even some of Yeshua's own disciples were disloyal and turned back. Why did Yeshua speak in parables? To test the loyalty of the people. That's why he spoke in parables. Why? He could have explained, but why did he? Because he wanted to test their loyalty. And like I said, he didn't look for the most educated. He didn't look for the most wealthy. He looked for the most loyal. So he spoke in parables or this kind of situation here, unless you eat. My body's not talking about physical cannibalism. He's talking about the Passover, that the bread and the wine represent his body. And he's doing this to test them. He's doing this to test their loyalty. And just like our life, there's times in our life that things happen that we don't understand. And that's where loyalty to Yahweh has to take precedent. You have to trust in him, have faith in him, and be loyal to him no matter what, even if you don't understand something that's going on. Psalm 15 One of the greatest psalms is about the kingdom and loyalty. It's a psalm, of course, that King David wrote. And praise Yahweh, almost 3,000 years later, we still have this psalm. He says, O Yahweh, who will sojourn in your tabernacle? Who will settle on your holy mountain? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his friend, nor lifts up a reproach against his neighbor. In his eyes, the reprobate has been despised, but he honors those who fear Yahweh. He has sworn to his own hurt, and he will not change it. He has not given his silver at interest, nor has he taken a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall not be shaken forever. He who does these things will not be shaken forever. Wow. So, this is the person that Yahweh looks to rule with him forever. We're called to be Melchizedek priest with Yeshua. It's the highest order in the universe. And this is the kind of people he looks for. He looks for people that are loyal, people that are going to be trustworthy. And look what he said right before that last Passover, what he said to the 12 apostles, or 11 at that point, Judas being gone. In Luke 22 and verse 28, he said, But you are continuing with me during my trial, and I appoint a kingdom to you as my Father appointed to me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Wow. This is the reward that Yahweh gives us for being loyal. The reward is that we will be with him forever and be kings and priests and judging in his kingdom. Like I said before, the decisions you make and the priorities you set declare your loyalties to Yahweh. Every decision you make, the priorities you set in your life, if you're getting your own things done, but you're not getting the work of Yahweh done, then you're not loyal to Yahweh. If you're getting his work done, that's your loyalty. How committed are you to the work of Yahweh, and how loyal are you to him? The last scripture, Romans 6:16. He says, Do you not know that to whom you present yourself as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to whom you obey, whether of sin to death or obedience to righteousness? Do you not know to whom you present yourself as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to whom you obey, whether sin to death or obedience to righteousness? You are the servant of what you obey. And like I said in the beginning, everybody is loyal to something, right? It's just that most people are loyal to themselves. A drug addict is loyal to drugs. A lustful person is loyal to money. Alcoholic is loyal to alcohol. Our loyalty has to be to Yahweh in everything. And if we're loyal to Yahweh, we'll be loyal to the leadership that he put on this earth. We'll be loyal to the Torah. We'll be loyal to his doctrine. We'll be without compromise in doctrine. And the work of Yahweh will be the most important thing in our life. And we'll do everything to further that work because that's our great commission. We will be without compromise to Yeshua who shed his blood and paid the penalty of our sins. And, you know, like I said, I can teach the calendar. I can teach all things on the Torah. I can teach the 25 lessons on doctrine. But I can't teach loyalty. You can't teach it. It's a character trait. And you can help do it by example. Each of us can. By examples, just like we went in the Bible today, we saw bad examples of disloyalty by Saul. We saw good examples of loyalty by King David. But loyalty is a character trait, and it's the greatest character trait that you need to get in the kingdom of Yahweh. So I pray that you really meditate on this. I pray that you think about that, and I pray that each of us will give 100% devotion and loyalty to Yahweh in the kingdom. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.